It says, now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. One of my favorite baseball stories is a story of a guy named Pee Wee Reese. As you know, back in the day, Pee Wee Reese was a pretty famous baseball player. But there was one guy that he spent time with, and his name was Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson was the first African American to play baseball in the major leagues. And Jackie Robinson was not a popular fellow because of that. As a matter of fact, everywhere he went, hostile crowds followed Jackie Robinson around. At every stadium, including his own home field, Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, it wasn't safe. He faced death threats. One day, while playing second base, Jackie Robinson made an error. And when he made the error, the crowd began to boo, jeer, humiliate him. He stood at second base, literally forlorn, he said, while the crowd hooted and hollered. This is on his own home field. Then without saying a word, Pee Wee Reese, who was playing shortstop, walked over to second base, put his arm around Jackie Robinson, and just stood there facing the crowd who was jeering him. Later, as you know, Jackie Robinson became one of the all-time greats, a Hall of Famer. And he says this about that moment. He said that day, Pee Wee Reese saved my career. Pee Wee Reese was a true friend that day. One who stood up for another man and said, I believe in that guy. Though all the world's against him, I believe in that guy. True friends are those who look for the best in others. They stand with them when others turn away. Well, what I'm telling you today is there's a guy in the Bible in Acts chapter 4 by the name of Barnabas. He was just such a guy. Barnabas was a person who helped the church move forward. Though he himself is mentioned only about 50 times in the New Testament, which is a good number, but not a whole lot. And it's nothing compared to the guy who he stood with and put his arm around, a guy by the name of Paul. You know, we don't often think of him because he wasn't one of the apostles. Yet it was Barnabas that God chose to be the man who came beside Paul and strengthened him when others shied away from him. To help him become the man and the missionary that God had called him to be. Barnabas never wrote a book of the Bible. Some people suggest he may have written Hebrews, but it's unlikely. But much of the New Testament that we read today, as a matter of fact, if you go back and you study, Paul wrote 27 books. Half the New Testament was written by this guy that Barnabas came up and said, hey, this guy's okay. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37 tells us that his name was Joseph. His given name was Joseph, though we became better known as Barnabas. Joseph means God shall add. What a great name for a guy in the Bible. God shall add. You know, the Bible, the meaning of names often translated into their character. To have a name that reflects the promises and the prosperity of God that he adds to life. How many of you here today believe that God adds to your life? You know, Joseph was a guy who's everywhere he went, when he heard the name Joseph, God adds to life. That's an important step in becoming the person that God wants you to be. Because it's hard to encourage other people if you don't feel like God has a plan for your life. If you feel like you're wandering in the wilderness, it's hard to encourage other people. But when you feel like, you know, I'm on track, God's with me, God adds to my life, then it's easy to look at other people and say, man, I want you to have what I have. If you don't feel like you have it, it's hard to be an encourager. But Barnabas or Joseph was one of those guys that felt like God had done something for him, and now he wanted to do something for other people. You know, as I said, better known as Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, was who he was, Barnabas was what he was all about, encouraging other people. He was willing to be used in whatever way was necessary for the advancement of the cause. You know, God often adds to our life when he broadens your borders, so to speak, when he builds your influence. Barnabas was used by God because he encouraged other people. You know, I want to tell you two things that stood out about Barnabas. You get the short sermon today. Instead of 3 points, you get two. It's easy to remember. When you walk out those doors today, you're going to be able to remember the 2 points of this sermon. Number one, Barnabas was a giver. He was generous in his support of others. We see that when it says in Acts 4:36-37, he sold a field that he owned. He gave the proceeds to the apostles to be used to support the work of the church in Jerusalem. You know, Jesus says this, where your treasure is, your heart is also. Barnabas' heart was in blessing others. Barnabas was the kind of person who sacrificed for the benefit of others. He was a person who says, I want to use some of my resources, some of my abilities to help this project go forward. He was a person who stood up in defense of the church. For the kingdom. And people like Barnabas are what it takes to bring progress. One of those guys who says it isn't about me, it's about him. It isn't about what I can do, but it's about what we can do. Because his giving, his work, helped the church explode. When there's enough Barnabases in the world, good things are going to happen. In Acts chapter 11:26, we read about a great milestone. If you want to flip over a few chapters to Acts 11, as the story of the church is told, we go through the time where the church became persecuted, but it didn't die. Rather than die, the church grew. And you go over to Acts chapter 11, and it records some of the history of the church. It was here the disciples were first called Christians. Who was the man working behind the scene when the disciples were first called Christians? It would be this guy named Barnabas, who way back in Acts chapter 4 had given of his resources to see the church expand. Well, 10 years had passed since Barnabas had put Saul on a ship from Jerusalem to Tarsus in order to save Paul. Now Barnabas had been sent to see, hey, in this town of Antioch, the church is blowing up. Believers are growing. Go up there and see what God is doing among this group of believers. So they sent Barnabas. Luke goes on to tell us in Acts chapter 11:24 that Barnabas remained in Antioch leading the church, and a great many people were brought to the Lord. Because of this encouraging guy, because of this giving guy, a great many people were brought to the Lord. Let me tell you something. At the end of the day, at the end of our life, isn't that what it's really about? That through our life, people come to the Lord. If we live on this earth, if we grow a big house, if we live and we have servants, we have all the things that other people look at us and go, wow, don't they have it all? If we've brought nobody to God because of our life, we have failed. We are called to be givers of ourselves that others may know him. Barnabas was just such a guy. The church grew because of who he was and how he lived. You know, and just look down a little bit. Acts chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. It tells us the kind of man he was. It says, then he came and saw the grace of God. He rejoiced. He exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Would that each of us be described in those kind of ways. Not what we have, but who has us. That we are full of the Holy Spirit, that we are full of faith. Hey, at the end of the day, when this life is over, the man who is full of faith, the man who has lived their life full of the Holy Spirit went much further to pleasing God than a man who lived for himself. That's what it's all about. In these few verses, Luke paints a vivid picture of the kind of Christian Barnabas was. One who leads others to faith. The kind of person who helps churches transform their communities. The kind who shows kindness. Who who has a deep faith and trust in God and is full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit. When Barnabas saw the way that God was blessing, you know what he did? He said, hey, I know a guy who once persecuted Christians, but man, he's on fire for God. I'm going to go get him. So instead, he leaves and he goes to Tarsus and he brings back. And it says that for an entire year, they met with the church and discipled believers there. Let's think about what Barnabas had done. Barnabas had given everything to the cause. He had given money by selling the land. He had given time. He gave it priority. That's where we get in trouble sometimes, is we give other things priority over God. One of the reasons Barnabas was such a giver and an encourager is because nothing had priority in his life over God. He spent a year there teaching and training, making disciples. I'm sure he had a life as well, but his life was first and foremost to see that the kingdom was advanced. He gave money, he gave time, he gave priority. He invested in God's plan for the church because he invested in others. You know, God has blessed Pleasant View Baptist Church in many ways because you're like Barnabas. You're invested in the things of God. When I look around and I see those shoes, when I look around and I see these book bags, I see a group of people. When I look around and hear Jessica's story of going to Paraguay on that one day when all the whole trip was paid for, because you invested in the things of God. That's what it takes. You know, this Saturday, I hope you can be involved. I hope you can be here for at least part of it just to see what God is going to do through your investment. Barnabas was a giver. We're called to be givers. We're called to sacrifice. We're called to be encouragers. One way we encourage is by giving. Now listen, the second way we encourage is by forgiving. I told you it'd be an easy two-point message. Be a giver. Be a forgiver. Be a forgiver. Barnabas was a person who believed in the potential of people. He believed in particular for those that others may be cautious or suspicious of. He was a man who was willing to give others a second chance. In terms of its root meaning, the word encourage means to put courage in. It means to inspire. It means to get to empower. It makes another person better. You know, there are times in our life when we need people like that. There are times in our life when we get a flat tire spiritually. We may be going down the road trying to do the right things for the Lord, and then something happens and we get a flat and we're off on the side of the road in a ditch. And we need the encouragement of others to get back going again. Life's like that. Aren't you glad for those people who are there to encourage? Romans 12:8 says it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of encouragement. But it's not just for those who have the gift of encouragement. Encouraging others is for all believers. All of us who follow Jesus. We're told to bear one another's burdens. If you remember the story in Acts chapter 15, flip over a few more chapters as we go down the story of the church here. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 39. Paul said to Barnabas, you know, they had made this missionary journey, the first trip through, and they had established some churches and gotten to know believers. Kind of like our church had been to Paraguay a few years ago, and now we went back again. Let's go see how those guys are doing. Well, if you remember the story on the first trip, Paul, Barnabas, and this guy named John Mark set off to go on the journey. Well, they came to this little town called Pamphylia. Funny name for a town. In Pamphylia, John Mark, for whatever reason, said, I'm not going any further. Maybe he got homesick. Maybe something happened. Whatever the reason, he said, I'm done. I'm going back. I quit. And you know what? Now it came time for the second journey. Paul says, let's go. Barnabas says, all right, I'll get John Mark. Paul says, no. We're not getting that guy. We done been down that road, and that guy quit on us. We done been down that road, and that guy got homesick. I'm done with him. I'm done with John Mark. You know what, Barnabas? It says such a disagreement arose that they parted company. You know what happened? Barnabas stood up for this guy named John Mark, and he said, Paul, I know you're a hard-nosed guy. Christians can be a little hard-nosed. That's all right. Just means we're intense and purposeful what we're doing. Sometimes it's all right. That was Paul. Us went along, Paul, and they became a team. But Barnabas didn't let John Mark simply lay out in the weeds and go away. He got John Mark, and they went on a missionary journey together. Rather than labeling John Mark a quitter, rather than write him off, Barnabas said, I'm going to give this guy another chance because there's something about him that's good. God's not done with him yet. And you know what? All of us today are glad of that. Because you know what old John Mark did? Every time you open up your Bible and you flip it to the book of Mark, the first gospel written, that was this guy that quit. But Barnabas looked at it and said, God's not through with you yet. Those people like Barnabas see people around them that some of the world writes off and says, no, they're not good enough. Or I know what they've done in the past. And Barnabas says, I know what God can do with them in the future. That's a forgiver. And in fact, Paul himself later decides, you know, Barnabas was right about this guy named John Mark. Because in his final letter, Paul, the second letter to Timothy, is waiting to be executed. He's in prison, waiting to be executed. And he writes to Timothy and says in 2 Timothy 2:11, get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Barnabas saw potential. Later, Paul did as well. And you think of someone who's been like that for you in your life, someone who saw potential in you, someone who didn't give up on you, someone who said, come on, God's not done with you yet. And even more, who are you doing that for today? Who do you look at that maybe once were very faithful to the Lord and all that they were doing and all their service, and now you don't see them anymore at church? Or maybe they've gotten away from the Lord. Do you just let them go, or do you go and say, you know, God's not done with you yet? Be like a Barnabas. Go find that person. Walk alongside. Pray for them. Encourage them to be faithful. I don't know, but that every church couldn't use a lot of Barnabases. A lot of people like Barnabas. Givers and forgivers. And when you get right down to it, where do you think Barnabas learned something like that? How about from the Lord himself? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, all of us sinners, should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved, he gave. He was a giver. He was also a forgiver. How about you? Are you like Barnabas? Do you see others and see what God sees in them? Or do you see others that have failed and you write them off? I thank God today that he didn't write me off. Because there was a long, long time that I was better off written off. There's no way I ever deserved salvation. And you know what? Neither did you. I'm thankful that this church has a lot of Barnabases in it. Maybe God is working in your life and there's some things that he has for you to do. Maybe this morning, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe that's a decision that you need to make today. Don't put it off. Maybe you've made that decision then let me encourage you, don't write others off. Be a giver. Forgive those who have sinned against you. If you're here today, you need to join the church. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart during this time, respond as God leads. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the life of Barnabas. I thank you for how he modeled what faith is all about. Full of the Holy Spirit, desiring to serve you, encouraging others, giving and forgiving. And Lord, through this guy and others like him, you built and strengthened the church. And Lord, as you work in us here at this body, we need people like that, givers and forgivers. Lord, if there's anyone here today who needs to give their heart and life to you, I pray that during this time of invitation, they would respond. Others, that decisions that need to be made. Lord, as we listen to you, the voice of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you might move in our midst. In Christ's name we pray.